Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. All their information is located on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. I'm your host for this evening. You'll have to excuse me. I'm battling a cold, so if I cough a little bit or I sound a little off, it's just that. So I hope it doesn't distract you too much. We have a very interesting program this hour. Before we actually talk a little bit about the foundation, I just want to make you aware that Dr. Jane Cottrell will be joining us in about 10 minutes or so. She has an extensive background as a spiritual healer for nearly 41 years. She's listed in the Who's Who's of American Women and is the author with physicist Russell Targ of many books. So we will be talking a little bit about that, her background, but really a very interesting fact about Dr. Jane Cottrell is she truly has a very healing heart, too. I feel like she's going to be talking about, if you're going through grief or having some difficulties, the hope, the inspiration of receiving after-death communication, and the evidence that's out there can transform you, too, as someone who's grieving. So we'll be talking about that, among other things. So please stay tuned to this very interesting program. But before we do get to our guest, I want to tell you a little bit about the foundation. I know that if you're listening, you probably already have a great idea of what the foundation does and its goals and its aspirations to really be a very informative not-for-profit. And if you think about a not-for-profit that has an all-volunteer organization, you know that its goals are primarily there to help you and guide you in your journey of really understanding afterlife science, grief and loss. If you need some support, if you're interested in mediumship, if you're interested in the science aspects of metaphysics and a wide variety of things, of near-death experiences to mediumship testing, there's a wide array of information at foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and it's all there as a not-for-profit. It doesn't cost anything to be a part of the organization, to be a member. Really, you just pass along your information so that we can send you a beautiful magazine. I remember when the organization started in 2005, it was a newsletter. Now it is a beautiful publication of beautiful information. I can't say that enough because I'm seeing the magazine in my mind. It is beautiful with interesting articles, resources for you. Sometimes we hear from our members and the experiences that they've had with spirit or their loved ones on the other side, scientists, mediums, excuse me. It's really a beautiful thing and it's free. And all you need to do is go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and you'll have all that information at your fingertips. It's really a very wonderful resource. Other resources that the Forever Family Foundation has are events and a beautiful, I seem to be using beautiful a lot tonight. I don't know if it's the meds or it is just a beautiful thing, excuse me. But the Visionary Explorers Group is a wonderful webinar that meets monthly. It's free. It's each second Saturday of each month. They are held at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And the Visionary Explorers Group is a wonderful way if you are someone who has had an after-death communication or you are curious as to how they occur, or if you're in the position of that wondering or hoping, has someone had that experience like I've had, the Visionary Explorers Group is for you. So I recommend you go to the foreverfamilyfoundation.org website and check out how you can sign up for that. It is really a wonderful group. On October 24th, if you happen to be in the New York area, in Brookville, New York, there is a celestial evening of spirit communication. It's going to be a wonderful evening. It's with medium Kim Russo and medium Joe Peretta. It will be held at the Hillwood Hall, Hillwood Commons at Long Island University. That's on Northern Boulevard in Brookville. And it's really going to be a wonderful evening of spirit communication and connection. And I recommend that you check out all the information at the Forever Family Foundation website. There are also a various amount of other webinars that are coming up in October, November. In October, Children Who Remember Past Lives. That's a very interesting topic. If you're interested in reincarnation and past lives, that will be a wonderful thing that you could be a part of. November 3rd, Ask the Medium. If you have some questions that you want to ask a medium directly, I would assume it's not, gee, can you connect to my grandmother? Although that would be nice if they are going to do readings. But it's truly a wonderful opportunity for you to really pick the brain of a medium and get a sense of how they connect. Most of us believe, which I do too, is we all have the ability to connect to our loved ones. And it's really the medium's job to give evidence, but also to open up a doorway so that you understand you have those abilities too, because your connection to them is stronger than anyone else's. We also have afterlife discussion groups. There will be some spirit communication going on in November. I see there's one here with Joanne Gerber, who will be in Florida. There's also some coming up, I believe, yes, in December. We have the Holidays Past events going on, one in New Jersey and also one in Massachusetts. The one in New Jersey every year is with Janet Nohavik, and I believe Joseph Scheel is going to be there too as well. And it seems Joanne Gerber is going to be doing the one in Natick, Massachusetts. So really so many wonderful things that you can do. Oh, it's on the website, so I guess I can say it. December 18th. I will be honored. It's such an honor for me to be able to connect a spirit to you. And we're having a very intimate evening of only 12 people. It's Desserts and Discarnates. That will be held in New York. It's on December 18th from 7:30 to 10. Would love to see you there as well. And again, that's only open, pardon me, to 12 people. So it's an honor for me to be able to do that. So many rich events that you can be a part of. We are always looking for volunteers, but if that's something that you can't do anything hands-on, there's always a way that you can help us out by giving. And, you know, it's really something to say, gee, send us money. And we certainly have wonderful things that you can get involved in. If you have a business, there's some business opportunities with advertising that helps us out. But even if you were just to do shopping, you know, we're coming upon the holiday season. Just a couple, 6 weeks from now, you're going to start, although I'm seeing it in all the, all the stores now. Pretty soon you're going to be doing that shopping, and it's a very easy transition. If you're doing it on the website, if you go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org, you'll see on the left-hand side, there's different ways that you can help us out. You can make a donation. You can do the sign registry, which is a very interesting concept. You can support us, though, by shopping. You're going to be doing shopping. Most people do shopping on the internet today. Two resources. iGive.com. If you click the link on our site, it will open up to every single store that you can think of that you're going to be doing your shopping on anyway. And the really cool thing about this is you buy something for the holidays, it costs you what it's going to cost you. There's no hidden or extra fees. It's on the website. If you shop at Target, you can click on Target. You'll go to the Target store. But what happens through iGive is they give a small percentage, not from what you paid, but a small percentage for going through that website to the Forever Family Foundation. Same thing with Amazon.com. So if you can't give financially, because it's tough times right now, you could certainly give in other ways, and we would really love your support. The reason why this radio show is on is because of your support. The reason that we can bring you webinars and have mediums go down to Florida and in New York and do beautiful spirit communication for you is because this not-for-profit is supported by you. So we really appreciate everything that you do for the foundation, and we would absolutely love you to be a part of it. So thanks for listening. What we're going to do now is we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Dr. Jane Katra, who has given me permission to call her Jane, and we'll be back with her, and please, with your questions, if you'd like to give us a call for Jane, we'll be right back after these messages.
Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Wind Bridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Wind Bridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, located on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. They also have a Facebook page, too, if you'd like to check them out and be a part of the Facebook community. If you have any questions for us, if you're stimulated by some of the conversation we have, you can give us a call at 888-627-6008. My name is Angelina Diana. And let me tell you a little bit about our guest this hour. Dr. Jane Katra holds a PhD in public health, in the University of Oregon, where she taught in the 1980s. Dr. Katra has also practiced as a spiritual healer for 41 years after receiving instructions in a near-death experience. She's listed in the Who's Who's of American Women and is the author with physicist Russell Targ of the books Miracles of the Mind, Exploring Non-Local Consciousness and Spiritual Healing, and The Heart of the Mind, Using Our Mind to Transform Our Consciousness. Dr. Katra is given positive data and experiments of remote viewing, as well as psychokinesis, where she has influenced the path of photons in a double-split experiment, the GSR and the EEGs of people at a distance, and the randomness of moving dots on a computer monitor. She teaches classes in awakening energy consciousness and experiencing your own evolving consciousness. There's information on Dr. Katra at www.janekatra.org or www.expresssearch.com. Welcome to the program, Dr. Katra.
Thank you very much, Angelina.
And I know you gave me permission to call you Jane, yeah. So
absolutely.
I want to make that clear because I certainly want to give you the respect you deserve, but thank you for that. I appreciate that. Now, you have such a wide variety of everything in metaphysics and even also in the scientific field, but I want to start, and I know you do also have a goal of wanting to help people through grief, but I want to start with what prompted you on a personal level to go into spiritual healing?
Well, that happened in 1974 when I happened to be staying in a youth hostel in Manila in the Philippines. I was the only person in this old building, and I was extremely ill. And when I realized I needed to I was in the night, and I realized I needed to get to a hospital and get some help with my extreme pain. Mm. I found that I was locked in. It was martial law at the time, and I could not leave where I was. So I had no help whatsoever, and probably I could say it was the first time in my life I actually prayed, which I did because I was getting ready to kill myself because I could not handle the pain, and I had never learned that this life is purposeful. And later, much later, I learned that the term fear-death experience, in other words, I was thrown into a near-death experience, and I was near-death because I was about ready to take my own life, but mostly it was just the ongoing traumatic pain, and I got thrown into what I later learned many people called a near-death experience. And during that experience, I was shown a life review and a life preview, and I was told that I was going to be coming back to life, and I was going to be a spiritual healer. And I did not want to do that at all. I came from a science-minded family. I wanted to make my mark in the world by being intelligent and rational and science-minded. And I now know that that is exactly why I was given what I'll call a soul contract that includes this radio show, because I have demonstrated my capacity to, you know, to get a doctorate degree in public health and to be successful, you know, doing research and publishing and being at the university. And so I'm also willing to talk about the truth of my experiences that our current scientific paradigm don't explain very well. up
That's
until,
true. That's very true.
Up that until is quantum physics and became known. So I was lucky in a way. You know, I never would have chosen to be a spiritual healer. And it's perfect. It's perfect in that it happens. I do connect to definitely a higher power, and also that spirits on the other side do help me now and again, and I can talk about that. But I have learned that every human being is a potential spiritual healer, and every human being is called today to awaken to becoming the next human, which identifies ourselves as fields of energy that we can increase and we can direct for healing. And it's time for us to activate all our chakras and our subtle energy system. And when a person does that, and I help people to do it, and perhaps I can help people over the radio show, I've done it over the phone a lot, people have to first experience their own true nature, which is awareness. Which is awareness using a physical body in this dimension for time. But along my pathway of being a healer over the past 40 years, I was guided to the teachings of a truly evolved human being named Ramana Maharshi. He died in 1950. He never left India. He left teachings you can understand. And at the time when I encountered his teachings, I was teaching remote viewing and how to be psychic with Russell Targ, and I came across the teachings of Ramana Maharshi, where he said, do not waste this lifetime trying to be psychic. He said, you are all psychic. But he said, being psychic does not lift the consciousness of humanity at all, and it doesn't wake you up to realizing the truth of who you are and what you're really here for. So he said, the most powerful psychic ability for humans is the capacity to radiate a palpable energetic power that actually promotes peace and heals anger and promotes the dissolving of barriers in psychic awareness between people. Mm-hmm. So that's a long answer, but I'll say I no longer, you know, teach remote viewing by itself, because I am committed to actually getting humanity ready for the idea of disclosure, that there's other intelligent beings in the cosmos, and helping to save our species and our home, the Earth. And the way this, I mean, many spiritual teachers, including Alice Bailey, and she's one who influenced me, who said that the way that humans are going to stop killing themselves and quit harming each other and quit cutting down all the trees and harming the earth is when they directly experience that they are energetically connected to all living forms, right, and that it's an interconnected dimension here. Mm-hmm. So that is ultimately, you know, a little bit about a long-winded.
No, it's okay.
I not traveling all around teaching remote viewing like I used to do? Because teaching healing is a part of the classes I teach. But again, it's about waking up and experiencing the truth of being a human, and yes, connecting to a higher vibration, which we'll call love. It is a vibration that promotes life and promotes healing. It is consciousness, the life force. And the amazing thing is that every human being is this remarkable extender, transducer, transmitter of life force.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. And I think we've heard many times when someone has had a near-death experience, how they do become or more in touch with that spiritual love, or even become more psychic or more in tuned. If we can go back a little bit, because I something that really struck me was when you had this near-death experience, I think because I hear a lot of clients and people talking about when they've had one. If you could go back a little bit and maybe talk a little bit about your state of mind prior to having this illness and having a near-death experience. I know you said you were scientific, but what was your spiritual life like, if there was one at all, and how much of a degree did it change you after you had this near-death experience? And if you could also maybe break down the near-death experience, because there's so many different types that people have had. So why don't we backtrack a little bit and share that, because that's very fascinating.
Okay. First, I want to say people don't have to wait to have a near-death experience. I really want to make that clear. That
sure.
Actually, for many people, the loss of a loved one that throws you into that deep despair is the portal for getting people to seek meaning in life here in the body when you don't really want to be here anymore because your loved one's not in body anymore.
Right.
That's a very important part of evolution of consciousness is the seeking for some truth when you're in despair. So I'll say that is what I was doing in 1974 when I was by myself in the youth hostel in Manila. Before that, my spiritual path was almost nothing, and I'm thankful for that. My spiritual path was science. Therefore, my near-death experience, the person educating me, the person talking to me, took the form of a type of person I probably most deeply respected. It was a male who was Asian, who was kind of a cross between a holy man and an evolved holy man and a doctor. And that's who I was talking to in my experience. And so I had no deep indoctrination in any religion. We were, I went to Sunday school up until I was in second grade, and other than that, as I said before, I was definitely, education was my religion,
Gotcha.
Education and being smart and being known for your good brain. Now, my experience, in all honesty, back in 1974, Raymond Moody's book was not out there. And even when it did come out, I think in 75, I didn't read it until years later, probably 1995, mm-hmm. when someone told me he thought I'd had a near-death experience. So at the time, I thought I'd really had a mental breakdown, because I did come out of that experience being a healer. I spontaneously discovered it. I didn't try to heal people. People would report it to me, and it freaked me out. And I also was extremely sensitive to vibration, just like a lot of children with autism today are. I've worked a lot with parents of autistic children, because many autistic children are natural healers and very psychic.
Mm-hmm.
They, and that's another topic we can talk about, but I was extremely sensitive to vibration, and I couldn't function very well. I also became pretty psychic, and it shocked me, and I didn't know what had happened to me, and I did not have guidance. I didn't have anybody to guide me until I did get guided to Dora Kuntz, who started the therapeutic touch modality of healing. She was a clairvoyant and a theosophist, and I literally got guided to the Theosophical Society in Seattle, Washington, got guided to Dora Kuntz, and she took me under her wing because she could see that I did not have a clue that I needed some guidance. I needed some guidance. So for people wanting a near-death experience, I mean, the research does show that most people who have them are really not grounded at all for many, many years. It causes huge disruption in your life, in your relationships, in your plans, So for me, my whole lifetime was coming to understand it. It's right. been ongoing. And I was told in my near-death experience that I would not be able to remember everything I was told at the time because it would give me a mental illness. I would not be able to function, and my parents wouldn't. And I wouldn't know how to function in this life, and that is true. I would not have. I've had to grow into everything, and now I, of course, realize I've been somehow amazingly gifted to associate with parapsychologists and be part of a lot of research and be part of a lot of very amazing, mysterious healings that I do not take credit for. I allow this higher vibration power to use me, and I do know that in certain cases, Dr. Elizabeth Targ on the other side has helped me.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what you wanted to know about near-death experiences?
Yes, because it's very interesting that you used the term that I became psychic, and I'm very curious because you have a scientific background, how does a scientist look at, you know, the fact that we are all, in my humble opinion, and you probably know this, I think we all have a spirit that's loving and very intuitive. It isn't that we become psychic. It's more like our physicality is somehow removed.
Could you
put that in your terms of how you experience that? Because I think it's a very interesting thing that we don't become psychic. We are psychic. Something else happens to get us in tune with that.
And this is definitely what the wisdom teachers, such as Ramana Maharshi, talk about, that it's what got removed is my self-occupation with thinking that with identifying myself as a body, as a separate body. Well, mm-hmm. what happened in my near-death experience is I got zapped. I got zapped by a high frequency of light. It was very bright light, and it vibed me up so that I was high and literally shaking for days.
Wow.
And I couldn't, and my perception, I was living in subtle energy perception. I could see auras. I could feel people's hearts. I loved everybody. I did not have discretion about who might be a safe person that I might be leading on by talking to strangers at night in downtown Manila. I literally was, I became innocent, you might say. I became like an innocent child, and it was not, I did not see it as mentally healthy, I'll tell you. I had wanted to go to graduate school, and I didn't think I was going to be able to do it. But I forgot what you asked me.
No, but think about it. You said that the idea of
what got removed
mental...
is I got tuned to a higher vibration.
Yeah, right.
I had my energy systems, my chakras, awakened.
Why don't we slow down, because there might be some people who don't understand what chakras are, about them being energy centers in the body, you know?
I don't want to talk too much about it because it's hearsay. It's things I learned afterwards, after I experienced. I'll go back and just say, it was revealed to me that indeed I was an energy healer, because after my near-death experience, I had many opportunities where I would meet somebody who was in pain. My partner had smashed his thumb with a hammer when he was nailing. I met someone who had a bad burn, you know. I immediately, the very day after my experience, met a woman who was having an extreme migraine headache, just in horrible pain. And just my wanting to help her, I did not remember my near-death experience. I had been told I would not remember it until the proper time. And I was just simply wanting to help this other person. I had no thought of my own separate self, of being foolish or silly. I was wanting to help her. And yes, I think my near-death experience made it possible that I was able to extend healing energy to her. The energy coming out of my heart just from wanting to help her merged with her field, her energetic field, and she was immediately relieved of her pain. And she described it, you know, when she told me I'd healed her, I denied it. I said, lady, I didn't do anything. I was getting ready to massage you. She said, no, no, when you brought your hands near to me, she said it was like you opened a dam and all the pain flowed out. Well, that was frightening to me because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know that's what happened. I did have my hands extended because I was wanting to massage her, and I did have an open heart wanting to help her. And that was my first experience of getting told, you're a healer. You know, it's taken years to grow into it, I'll say. And now I think everyone, it's time for everyone to realize that we're an energetic species, that our job is to feel energy and direct it for healing. The way Ramana Maharshi said, what he said was the most efficient and quick way to wake up. And if people want to do it, I'll just tell you what he said. And, you know, he just said, let your eyes come closed. And he said, be the awareness and investigate, observe your own awareness. With your eyes closed, just sort of relaxed and looking inside your head, and ask, he said, each person listening has to individually ask, who am I? You have to be seeking. Seeking is important. It's the pull that pulls a higher vibration down to really allow you to experience your true self, which is awareness that never dies.
That's a good place for us to stop for a moment to take a break. We're speaking with Dr. Jane Khatra. We will be taking a short break, and when we come back, perhaps we'll talk about how everything that Dr. Khatra has learned in the last 40 plus years and her experiences, how this can help you transform through grief or a loss. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's Dr. Parisetti in one word.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages.
Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the program, Signs of Life Radio. I'm your host, Angelina Diana. And if I know that you're intently listening on the program, but if you do have a question for Jane, you can give us a call at 888-627-6008. We've been speaking with Dr. Jane Katra. And where we left off is we spoke about in the beginning of the program your extensive background after having a near-death experience and how it has made you aware and has transformed you into a healing portal to help others. Where can our listeners, because I know you've been speaking to them in such a way so that they would feel their own abilities and their own connection to self-healing, but where would you say for someone right now that's listening to the program that has had a very difficult loss and they're searching? You spoke earlier about how when you experience a loss, it kind of, I'm using my own words here, kind of cuts you off from your own physical life and brings you into the spiritual or into that non-physical because you don't want to connect with the physical world anymore. How could you give some tips or discuss with those that are grieving right now on how after-death communication or connecting to self and to their loved ones can be helpful for them?
Definitely. Okay, I'm happy to help anyone. Anyone can contact me after the show, too. You know, I'll be on my website. My spiritual teacher was Ramana Maharshi, and I definitely think I'm not trying to preach here. He did not preach a religion. He talked about the science of consciousness and the evolution of consciousness of humanity. And I was so glad to be introduced to his teachings because he did talk about how grief and the end of wanting to live your life the way you had been doing it was an opportunity. And he said it's actually part of your path here on earth to evolve in consciousness. And he said when you have this depth of despair early in life, let's say if you were a child and your parents died, or your parent and I bless you if you're a parent and your children have died or a child has died, the only way to cope with it, Ramana Maharshi said, is to go to a higher level of consciousness. You cannot heal at the story level of identifying yourself as a physical body, having a spiritual experience for a time. You have got to wake up and realize none of us is going to die. This is a temporary incarnation here. And Ramana Maharshi said the purpose of your taking birth was to evolve in consciousness. And for many people, that is death of a loved one or loss of health, loss of your body capacity to function. So this got my attention because I realized a lot of the people I work with are in deep grief, and I was so surprised to find in the science of consciousness that facing that kind of despair, which is a death of your ego, a death of wanting to go forward at the level of where you are, you do have to go higher. Now, I want to say that I started spontaneously getting communications from my very dear friend, Dr. Elizabeth Targ, after she left her body in 2002. That led me to seek out good mediums, to have further conversation. And so I'm sure your listeners know that you have a program of medium certification, of which you are one, and the Winbridge Institute with Julie Bischel certifies mediums. It's now possible to have help with communicating with your loved ones with a good, reliable, ethical medium. I also wanted to mention something that I haven't mentioned before on this show, is that I sought out a practitioner of a variety of what's called induced after-death communication, which Alan Botkin wrote a book called that, and I had a session with Rochelle Wright, a very experienced therapist. She lives in Washington State. She had sort of tweaked the therapy and calls it assisted after-death communication, and it's an amazing process. There are different practitioners around the country. I imagine they can evolve to do it over the phone as well. It uses EMDR, rapid eye movement reprocessing, and Rochelle added to it a Monroe Institute type of binaural beat music. So I'm here saying that, you know, the Monroe Institute also gives workshops in tuning to a different reality, a different vibration. But I wanted to just tell people that I do realize that not everybody's as lucky as I am to have spontaneous after-death communications. Now, one thing I did experience when my mother was communicating with me after she passed, because I was crying so deeply, shaking and crying. And she said, "Jane, if you can just be in the loving, just love without the story of grief or poor me or your fear or anything, just the loving, just open-heartedly radiating loving, and sobbing can be a part of it, that is a way to keep the connection going." And it was a real breakthrough for me that I could express the loving without the grief story, without the story of loss. Because that's indeed what being a spiritual healer is, you know. I mean, theoretically, people in grief can become spiritual healers using that broken open-heartedness, that their heart broken open. If they can direct it towards someone who has asked them for help, there has to be an opening. And, of course, if someone wants to be a healer, I actually think that my book that I wrote with Russell Targ that's called Miracles of Mind is a very, very helpful book. Covers a lot of different types of spiritually transforming experiences and a lot of evidence that that our true nature is non-local and that our consciousness doesn't die. But for a person in grief, if you encounter it, you can practice on a pet if you want. You encounter someone who wants healing help from you, you open your broken heart, and you can use your put your hands and try and direct energy out your hands if you want to. But it's you have to be open-hearted and open with no thought of yourself. It has to just be open, wanting to help. It's the self-occupation that keeps, and that our grief keeps us bottled up in our self-occupation. And I'm not going to say that I haven't spent years in grief, not able to get beyond it.
That was going to be my next question. That whether you believed you can heal grief, or do you feel that the hope of after-death communication or just establishing a new spiritual relationship with that loved one is the new norm? What is your feeling? I think you kind of answered that already.
I think grief is purposeful. I think, you know, because mm-hmm. the wisdom teachers have said that it, and I experienced it. It literally broke me open. Your grief mm-hmm. breaks your heart open. Mm-hmm. I don't believe you can heal it truly mm-hmm. in the way that you took incarnation to. We took incarnation to evolve. So this is part of a spiritual path for anybody who has this kind of grief. It's your path. And it's an opportunity to investigate teachings by truly evolved people. I can't remember your exact question.
It was just a question basically about that you can't heal grief, basically. That was basically what I was getting at.
I'm not going to say what other people can do. I'm not going to say what anything's possible. Anything's possible for anybody. I think we're all on our own path. I'm saying that that I do believe that we're meant to evolve in this incarnation. Mm-hmm. That having our hearts broken open is part of that for
right.
most people. That it's desirable to go to a higher level of consciousness. It doesn't cancel out being science-minded or being intelligent or being able to do your work. It takes you to a higher level of being and makes it meaningful what's going on. And I know from my experience that I definitely was in direct communication for years after my various very close loved ones had passed. I'm sure that, you know, I think it is possible for everybody. I don't know. I do think people on the other side have to be wanting to communicate. I think, and in my case, they were definitely wanting to help me not be so impaired from my grief. They were wanting to help me. They were also wanting to give me evidence that they're not dead, because I'm a parapsychologist, and so was Elizabeth Targ, so was Dr. Steve Bauman, two people who.
Don't believe that you can freely speak to your loved ones?
I can't speak for every other person.
I'm speaking about your experiences.
My experiences. I'm going to honestly say I did not believe that until spontaneously the people on the other side connected with me. Dr. Targ gave me that incredible gift over and over and over again. I didn't believe that dead people talk to people. I didn't believe they could initiate contact, but that they themselves could initiate the contact, and that I certainly never believed it would happen to me, the likes of me. I've come to believe that it's part of my soul contract here to talk about it, and that I was totally right. gifted with this work, with being able to talk about it. Now, you're a medium and I'm not, but I do think, since we are always all connected, we're energetic fields of love, and that's right. our true self. Even after
Absolutely.
We drop the body. So theoretically, I would think that anyone could connect with someone on the other side. But
Absolutely.
I think most people need the help of a medium. I really do.
I think a medium can give hope. I think that that's the main job of a medium, to give hope. But I think your role, and what I love about your message, is you don't have to be a medium to connect. And I think that that's a very important walk that you're taking here in this life. And I wish you all the best to continue to keep opening the minds and the souls and the spirit of those that are hurting and those that maybe aren't connected to their spirit. And by them just crossing your path, they feel your good intention and it opens them up. And I think that's really our goal here, right? Like you said, we do
Absolutely.
Have we have an opportunity. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you, Jane, for joining us for a very informative hour. If you'd like more information about Dr. Jane Khatra, you can go to www.janekhatra.org. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're most welcome. I'm happy to help in any way I can.
Thank you. And I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight and remind you again that you can go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org for any information on any of our guests or what this not-for-profit offers. My name is Angelina Diana, and I want to remind you that your loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it. Have a good night.